that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We've got the text line open. You can text us in with questions, concerns, or just let me know how bad or good I'm doing today. Candy.
Stop it. You're doing phenomenal.
We always start
I keep
off
saying
with
you should
positive.
Do a podcast. I will board that for you. I'll figure it out.
So you text in, yeah, at 850.
We don't live together. Okay.
Either way.
My mom gives me a text message on the text line when I'm on talking on here.
Yeah. My dad already texts.
Is your mom listening now? All right.
We've got Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender in. Robert, how's it going?
Good. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing good. Doing good. And we strategically, this was your idea, so I'll let you take the credit. Strategically had you on at the 8 o'clock hour because it is early voting. And the polls opened 11 minutes ago at 8 o'clock.
Yes, polls are open till 5:30 today and 8 to 5:30 every day this week until Saturday.
That's right. And you can go to any of the early voting locations, no matter where your voting precinct is, and vote in early voting. You can go to any of them and run through some of those locations? Do you know
sure.
those off
well,
top of your
I
head?
I made it up to Century the other day, okay. and they even talk about there are people that vote there from the beach because they're on their way out of town and they realize they have to vote, and it's
funny.
It's right there off of 29. So the Century Courthouse is one of them. And again, if you're headed out of town and forget to vote for the August 18th election, you can stop by Century Courthouse and vote there. But I'll just work my way down from the north end then, seeing I'm already up there. But we have Molino Community Center. We have the Extension Office on Stefani. We have the Bellevue Library, UWF, Asbury Place, which is right behind the 9th Avenue and College Boulevard. We have our downtown main library, the SOE office downtown, the Brownsville Community Center, the Southwest, and the Southwest Library. So those 10 locations. And, as of for the first 12 minutes, we've already had 27 voters today. And so we have, I have yet to really see a line at any of these locations. So I encourage everybody to get out and vote. Every voter in Escambia County does have a ballot to vote, whether it be the, countywide referendum on appointed elected superintendent, that will be on everybody's ballot. But then we also have three school board races that are all nonpartisan for districts 1, 2, and 3. There are only two candidates in each of those races, so the next school board member for districts 1, 2, and 3 will be elected on the August 18th election. And then we also have the race for mayor, in which we have 6 candidates. And 4 years ago, Mayor Reeves received over 50% of the vote in the August election, and so he was elected. He didn't go to November. So if you're waiting to vote on your next mayor in November, you may not have that chance if someone gets over 50% in this election. And then we also have our partisan races. So if those were all the nonpartisan races. The partisan races that both Republicans and Democrats would see are U.S. Senate, governor and lieutenant governor. And I'm going to put a footnote on that to come back to that in a second. Right. The CFO and then the Commissioner of Agriculture. And then Republicans also have U.S. Congress. They have a House District 2 race to replace Alex Andrade, who is termed out. And then you also have County Commission District 2 race that will be on there for the Republicans. So we actually went to a third column on some of those ballots. So there is a lot for people to vote on. And so I encourage them to come out and vote in the August 18th election, in which we have early voting going on right now.
Very good. Very good. You're showing about 14,920 votes so far out of the 204,000 people that are registered to vote. And so how are we looking? We're at just over 7% turnout. Is this, are we on pace? Are we under pace? Are we, what are you seeing with turnout for the primary?
So I'd say this, in 2024, we had 75% of the registered voters not vote. Just under 25% of our registered voters voted. So we're trying to get that number up. We're historically close to 30%. But I will say right now, our vote by mail numbers are down. We're about 1,200 below where we were at this point in 2024. But we are up about 600 votes in early vote. So about a net loss of 600. So really encouraging people to get out and vote for the August 18th election. Again, the early voting going on now. All vote by mails have to be in my possession by 7 p.m. on election night in order to be counted. And then again, we have Election Day, August 18th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Have to go to your home precinct for that.
All right. Very good. Candy, we'll go to you with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, sure. And we were just watching one accident. This is in Milton on Avalon, just north of McDonald's, north of I-10, but it is southbound across from what used to be the Morris Golf Course. And it's backed up quite a ways on Avalon. Maybe avoid that area if you can. Take 90 or, you know, something else. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, it's Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
So if I've requested a mail-in ballot, Robert, and I haven't turned it in yet, can I still come drop it off at one of these early voting locations, or can I bring it to my election polling place on election day if I wanted to?
Great question. So, early vote accepts, we have the secure ballot intake stations. So those are only at the early vote sites during opening hours. So 8 a.m. to 5:30, you can drop off your vote by mail there. On election day, it would only be our office downtown. That would accept vote by mail drop off. If you go to the precinct, your home precinct, you would have to vote in person. You would surrender that ballot. You don't have to, but you could surrender that, and they would give you a new ballot to be voted. So one of the security measures that we put in place when I came on was we have an official use box almost at the top, and we put a V in that for vote by mail. And what that actually does is that prevents the tabulators at those precincts from tabulating those ballots. So we can only tabulate them in our office, and so that would prevent anybody from taking a ballot in and trying that they've gotten in the mail and trying to cast an extra vote or anything. We didn't necessarily have a problem with that, but we had the ability to put in that security measure, and so we did that, and it's worked out well. So also going back to the that governor and lieutenant governor that I was talking about. So that is the name of the race. It says governor and lieutenant governor. And so on the Republican side, none of those governor candidates had already selected a lieutenant governor. So there's only one name for each of those governor candidates. And so we only want people to vote for pick one. They don't need to pick governor and lieutenant governor. The governor candidate will pick their lieutenant governor if they haven't done so already. On the opposite side of that, the Democratic ticket, David Jolly was the only one who had selected a lieutenant governor. And so now we get calls that say, well, Gwen doesn't have an oval. That's because she's David's lieutenant governor.
Right.
And so encourage people to follow the instructions. Only vote for one per contest. Of course, if you are early voting or voting on election day, if you do make a mistake and overvote that contest with two, then the machine would let you know and you'd have the opportunity to fix it.
All right.
All right, I want to weigh in here. Can I weigh in here?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, hey, what are you doing?
Can you vote drunk? You
okay, so... So my wife likes to early vote. Yep. Hi everybody, it's Andrew. I'm on vacation.
It's
I'm
not. McKay.
I came in to get hugs from Candy.
Yay.
So the lieutenant governor thing is super confusing. My wife likes to vote in advance, so if she votes by mail. She said, "Come help me with my ballot," which I did because I pay attention to politics, and she does everything else. And I didn't even know what the stupid rule was. I'm like, "What do you mean vote for a lieutenant governor? There's only you pick one." And she's like, "Do you pick two?" I'm like, "You just pick one." It made no sense to me, and I'm moderately well-informed about these things. This is a terrible system, Robert.
I understand. So 8 years ago was really the last time this happened. We were able to put not yet selected under each candidate, and apparently that also led to confusion. And so before I came in, I guess the colleagues in the state decided to do away with the not yet selected. And so, definitely something to talk about to see how we can do that.
Can I also suggest it's weird to have only one race say incumbent on it. David Williams says incumbent, nobody else does.
Yeah,
because we're in District 3. Stuff. That's weird.
That is because both candidates have the same last name, and so with one of them being the incumbent, the statute says I have to put that.
Really? Wow. There's a law that says if they have the same last name to avoid confusion, you have to identify the incumbent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What if they're real close names, like we had in the last city council elections where people were confused because candidates, maybe deliberately, maybe inadvertently, had very similar names? Doesn't count?
Doesn't count. It's the same last name. So we do things. We do allow candidates to do a professional designation. But in this case, both of them had PhDs. So if I'd let each one of them put doctor, then it wouldn't have helped with the confusion. So we didn't allow that. But the statute does require that we put incumbent next to the incumbent. And that's what we did in this case. So
interesting. Very interesting.
Lots of fun little. And again, so all this gets prescribed to us by the state. They have uniform ballot rules that we follow in terms of everything from the size of the font to, again, especially in the governor and lieutenant governor, they sent out the email telling us how to make sure that we did it. So even though we do create our own ballot and are responsible for that, there is a lot of direction from the state.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll cut to commercials real quick, and then we'll come back with Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender.
So I have known Christina Leavenworth as long as I've lived here, you know, back to when she was in the news and then all the things that she's done since then and with her family and everything else. And when she said that she wanted to get into real estate, those of us who knew her thought, well, a lot of people try, but if anybody can make it work, you can. And she has, it's unbelievable, honestly. And the reason is because, you know, she's really smart and she's very personable. But frankly, I think it's because she's willing to do all the little things that kind of everybody knows you're supposed to do. She just does them. She calls back right away. She follows up. And when people come and look at a house and they don't make an offer, she thinks, well, let's find out why. So she'll call the agent and the agent will say, well, they didn't like this or the price or whatever. And, you know, she says, okay, great, because that's a learning opportunity. Maybe we can do it better in the future. Or, well, you know, actually, we can fix that. Would they be interested if we did this? Maybe, because that can become a sale. That is such a little thing, but think about it. How many people are really willing to do that little step, but it can turn into so many great results? That's the way she approaches everything, from fixing nails in the drywall, you know, holes in the drywall the night before you're supposed to have a closing just to make sure the closing happens. Whatever it takes, she gets the job done. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whoa, for the longest time.
before you were interrupted rudely by Andrew McKay.
What a surprise.
Walker Wilson sitting in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We are strictly 80s Joel here on News Radio 92.3. Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay, unless he pops out from underneath the desk again. That was a fun little surprise.
Everybody comes out for Bender.
That's right.
Yay!
We're here with Supervisor of Elections, Robert Bender, talking about our primary election. And Robert, I know a lot of people have been commenting positively on the new I Voted sticker, and you even get one if you request a mail-in ballot, which is fun.
Yes. So we jumped on the American 250 bandwagon a little bit. We've done the election workers have a special badge, very similar to the one that I'm using for the office. That's a celebrating 250, and then the I Voted sticker is it's a commemorative sticker is what I put on the on the vote by mail that we included in it. But it does it. It's a little bit similar to what we had before with the beach and the water. But for 1776, we have a tall ship, and then for 2026, we have more of an American Magic looking ship on the front. Nice. It says America 250 with some fireworks faded in the background. So they're a little bit bigger to let everyone know that you're proud that you voted and have this opportunity to vote. So we're again, as I'm making my way around all these sites, everyone's really said they got a lot of positive comments about that. So we appreciate that. We did that in-house. And then the other thing we did is some of the vote by mail enhancements that we did. One of those was including an I Voted sticker in the vote by mail packet. It's on a 1/3 sheet of paper with some final instructions to the voter, and even put a little arrow that says sticker. To make sure that they knew it was the sticker. Some of the other things we did was we put the top half of the envelope Post-it yellow on the back, gotten really positive response from USPS in allowing them to easily pick out the ballots and get them to us. Also, I think it helps highlight the area that the voter needs to sign. They need to sign in that red box. I think hopefully that draws a little bit more attention to it. But some of the enhancements that we made, and also we now have the ability to track it through the USPS. So we actually had a gentleman call yesterday and say, hey, I haven't gotten my – he had had an issue with his ballot, needed a replacement ballot, and hadn't gotten it yet. So we sent it to him on August the 3rd, and we pulled up the information and were able to pass that along to the USPS that had been stuck at a post office for a couple of days, and they were looking into that. So we did not have that ability to do that before. So this tracking and being able to see where ballots are as they make their way through the USPS system has been a huge help for the office.
Yeah, and I got a text about my ballot for my mail-in ballot, which I thought was really cool. And then you can also go onto your website, escambiavotes.gov. You can find your under the voters tab. You can find a sample ballot. So if you want to see what's on the ballot before you go, you can do that. You can, if you mailed your ballot back in, mine said I requested one, they sent it. I sent it back to them that y'all received it, and now that it's been counted because I sent it in a few weeks back. So you can check all that.
I didn't know you could do that. I always worry about mailing, you know, because you see stuff.
Sure.
And it's, may I ask a quick question? Like, there's a bunch of podcasts from a bunch of people that aren't, you know, but that maybe lean a certain way that say that people that are married using their married name may not be able to vote. And that's, I've never seen that happen.
Right. So,
I mean, you have your ID and you have your.
Correct.
If it's
what's been updated on a voter record. Now, we will have some things going forward in 2027 where new voters will have to provide their citizenship, either their birth certificate or their passport.
Actually, this
is a great thing. So, number one, I want to say don't be worried about coming to the polls to vote, worried about bringing your passport or your birth certificate. So our voter roll has already gone through the SAVE database. And so if you were a registered voter in October 2005, your citizenship status has already been checked. And you remain a voter. We've verified that you're a citizen. So shouldn't be an issue.
I was going to say, I've had like four last names. I've never had a problem.
And so same thing's going to happen. Yeah. As soon as you make that initial thing, you might have to show the paperwork that your name's changed. But you're doing that at the DMV. Anyway, and so they can make that change as they're on your voter record right there. So
some people like to whip everybody into a panic.
Yeah. That's the thing is that I don't want voters to expect something different than they've had in previous years coming to vote, right? So the same photo IDs are still required and able to be used. Sure. Those will change in 27, but for right now, for 2026, the same ones that were used in 24 will be used here. So I really encourage people to get out and vote in the August 18th election.
Woo!
All right. Go out and vote. Check your polling location.
Yep, and I've got them all listed on our podcast page as well, along with the Scambia Vote, so they can find you. And thank you for the great job you do.
Appreciate it. Feel free to give us a call, 850-595-3900, if you have any questions.
Thanks, Robert.
Angelosi, the polls are open in Wisconsin and socialism is on the ballot. Today's primary could see Democrats nominate Francesca Hung for governor.
She has run on the platform of higher minimum wage, higher taxes for rich people.